The thing I like about the Philippians letter is that Paul writes a lot of letters to churches that he started, and a lot of those letters are corrective in nature. But Paul got so much joy out of the Philippians. They were doing right and they were doing well. They had challenges, and this letter addresses a lot of those challenges. But he gets a lot of joy. So joy of seeing someone that you've ministered to over the years doing well. Kelly and I were out this weekend in Huntington Beach. Some of you may know that for many years, I was a Civil War reenactor, and I was the chaplain of the organization. So we went out on Saturday just to visit our friends, and we're talking to these folks, and this young lady told me, "I listen to your sermons every week on the website." And it gave me a great deal of joy. So a big shout out to Jason and Lisa Coffey up in Las Vegas, because to hear that someone you've ministered to is doing well is a great joy. And that's what's going on with Paul and this letter to the Philippians. So after about 10 years of planting the church in Philippi, Paul was under house arrest in Rome. His future was very uncertain. And so he wrote this letter to his beloved Philippian church. After the opening greeting, Paul gave thanks to God for them, and he prayed for them. And as he began the body of his letter, Paul wanted them to know that despite his imprisonment, he was very happy because the gospel was advancing. Because that was his most urgent desire. So then he urges them to live for Christ, to live for Christ. So in Philippians, we're doing verses 18 through 30. We're looking at four basic things here. We're going to look at the Christians rejoicing. We're going to look at the Christians resolve, and the Christians request, and the Christians reminder. So that hopefully that'll all make sense as we go along. But before we go into God's word, it's always a good idea to pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we open up your book, which is the living, breathing word of God, we pray that you will open hearts and minds, that the message that you would have someone receive today is the message that we deliver. So speak through us, Lord, and speak the truth in love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at these things, the Christians rejoicing. So Paul starts right out with a very interesting phrase. Remember, he has just talked about how the gospel is advancing. And how great it was in spite of his troubles. So he says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in that, listen, in that, I rejoice. And yes, I will rejoice." We are to rejoice when the word of God is preached, whether it's by us or by someone else. We are to rejoice when we hear somebody preaching the word. Paul's happiness is that the Philippians are doing well, but also that the gospel is going forward. He not only rejoiced for what happened in the past, he would also rejoice in what was in the future. Now the words rejoice and joy, go back and count this sometime, the words rejoice and joy appear 13 times in this short little letter. However, the joy in Philippians is a particular kind of joy, the joy of contentment even in difficult circumstances. It's not talking about everything's going great, I'm happy. And as Christians, we sometimes equate those two things. I am joyful and I'm happy when everything is going well. I am joyful and I'm not joyful and happy when things are kind of going off the rails a little bit. But what Paul's trying to communicate, that no matter what else is going on, he's rejoicing and he's happy because the word of God is going forward. He's writing a letter to people who are under persecution, most certainly. The Christian church suffered persecution for the first 3 centuries or more. Not more so than in the first century when these letters are written. And yet these Philippians are doing well. So he's saying he is rejoicing and he's joyful because the word of God is being spread throughout the world in spite of all the obstacles. It is absolutely true in the world today, one might think, listening to the news, reading newspapers, some of you remember newspapers, they're the There are these big paper things. It's like the 6 o'clock news, but it doesn't move. But people will read the news or listen to the news or read the news on their computer, and you would think that Christianity is dying out. It's being overtaken by other worldviews. But the reality is not so. Christianity is growing, it's vibrant, and it's healthy, maybe not so much in Western culture, but in other parts of the world. One of the fastest growing segments of the Christian faith is in some place you might not expect. It's in places like China. The Christian church in China is growing and growing. South Korea, there's one church that has over 30,000 members. And the South Koreans, Christians, send missionaries to the United States because their faith is so vibrant. So joy means being happy that the gospel is going forward in spite of all the obstacles, everything that the devil can throw at them. So that the question for us is, are we able to say that? Are you able to say that regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your uncertain future, yes, I will rejoice? And you live that every day. Many years ago, I used to teach, this is going to sound really strange, I used to teach people how to sell water door to door. True statement. Teaching people to sell water door to door. I worked for Sparkless Drinking Water, and we had to get a new customer every single day. So I used to teach the sales training classes. And one of the things we would teach these guys to get them motivated, we would always say this: to be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. To be enthusiastic, you must act enthusiastic. Its translation is, if you want people to see something about you that's different, that's appealing, that's attractive, then you've got to be happy to be a Christian. You have to be like Paul. In whatever your circumstances, you need to be joyful and happy. And when people see you going through stuff in your life and you're calm and you're peaceful, folks want to know what's going on with you. Folks want to know what's going on with you. When my mother passed away, I was in the emergency room and she had a heart attack. And this is not a sad story. Stick with me. When I got there, they had already gone through the protocol, the reviving thing, like 6 or 7 times. And the doctor's talking to me and he says, well, we've done this 3 or 4 times and she's not responding. Do you want us to do it again? And I said, no, she's fine. He goes, you sure? And I go, yeah, she's fine. My mother was a strong Christian. My mother was a strong Christian. So I knew where she was going, right? And when all of those doctors and nurses kind of hangdog walked out of the room, I was fine. I'm praying over my mom. Does that mean make me like really, really? No. I understood the same thing she understood, that when you separate from your body, you go to be in heaven. So even in your worst circumstances, we need to learn to be joyful. Because God has everything under control, and quite frankly, we win. So yes, and I will be joyful. So that's the rejoicing. The Christians are to be rejoicing. Let's go on here. So we go into the next verses. We're still in Philippians 1. Go to verse 19. And the text says this. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Now he's talking about him being in jail. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then he goes on to say, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which should I choose? I can't tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of the Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Well, that's a lot of stuff there. So we're going to try to break that down for you. The Christian resolve. The Christian resolve. See, for Paul, the dilemma was twofold. So we always talk about, you know, when you pass on, you know, you're going to go to be with Jesus. So for Paul, who understood that completely in his heart of heart, his dilemma was, well, I already know that going to be with Jesus would be a lot better. And that would be great. On the one hand, to live would result in fruitful labor. On the other hand, to die would be being with Christ. The word deliverance, as he's talking about here, is not deliverance from his imprisonment, but rather his ultimate vindication for God. So he has this thing going on in his head. It would be great if I get executed, I get to go be with Jesus. But, you know, if I stick around, I can do the good labors for the Lord. See, what Paul is looking for, what Paul is hoping for, is what it says in Matthew 25:21. Listen to this. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been fruitful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. See, that's why when he says, if I stay, I can do fruitful labor.